What great worship services we've been having. Wow. And I know that Sunday is going to be no exception. God's going to move in a great way, especially after Friday night's prayer meeting. He always moves in a special way. Oh, thank you, Lord. I think this year we are at 242 people. That's 242 new births. We set a goal for 325. We're a little bit behind, Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew keeps the official record. The Olivers are coming, and we always have somewhere in the range of 25 to 35 people filled with the Holy Ghost when they're here. So, and this is Christmas time. It's going to be a Christmas crusade. And then we'll have our Christmas program the next week. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. I love Christmas. I like to get gifts. And I like to give gifts. And it's a good family time. Thanksgiving to Christmas, just so blissful, but it is not very good for my health, especially in view of me trying to shed a few pounds. The truth of the matter is, I don't think I have lost any in the last 3 or 4 weeks from my birthday till now. I'm afraid to get on the scales. I almost got on the scales and I backed off. I said, no. I can kind of, you know, you kind of tell the way your clothes fit, can't you? I said, no, this, I can tell you it's not going to be good news if I get on the scales. And I'll go around feeling bad all day long. And I don't want 2 or 3 extra pounds of blubber to make me feel bad all day. So I just won't get on the scales. Oh, my. So, like the gentleman said, I've read so many bad reports about overeating, I gave up reading. So... Oh, hallelujah. Miracles. God has been doing some great and wonderful things. Tonight is not a sermon per se, but it's just outlining some things that I would like to see happen, at least start in the year of 2011. Can you believe it's December 1st today? It's hard to believe, isn't it? December 1st. Tonight, my subject is three important words. Three important words. And I will give you those shortly. But let's turn to Acts. Well, first, the book of Mark. Pardon me. Mark, the 16th chapter. While you're turning there, I'll give you our weekly attendance. Our weekly attendance this past week, 722. So... we were down considerably. But still, all in all, that's pretty good attendance. Mark 16, verse 15 through 20. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And then we go to Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 26. pardon me, Acts the second chapter, verse 46. And this I have read the last three times that I preached. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And then I go to Acts the 22nd chapter. And I want to read verse 14 through verse 16. Now this has to do with Paul's conversion. Acts 22:14, and he said, that is Ananias, who baptized Paul, and he said, the Lord our God, pardon me, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now when they, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And God bless you. You may be seated. Talked about three important words in Mark 16:20. They went everywhere. In the King James Version, there's two words there. But in modern English, everywhere is one word for the most part. So they went everywhere. And then in Acts the second chapter, verse 46, the word daily is used. And so I'm changing that to every day. And then in Acts 22, verse 16, why tarriest thou? Arise. And I'm inserting the word now. So we're going to talk about everywhere, every day, and now. And I just really want to talk about evangelism. Like I said, this is not going to be a sermon. We have had a similar situation now here at Calvary Gospel Church for probably 5 or 6 years or more, and that is not having enough room in the building. One of the big challenges for Sister Grant, and that is the scheduling of rooms, the setting of dates and such. If you notice our calendar, it's pretty full. We have outsiders that call almost every week and they want to get married here, want to use our building. And we just tell them that we don't rent it out. And the reason why is because we have tried this, and as sure as you set a date, then some member of our church wants to come along and get married, and they want that date. And that date's already been spoken for. We don't have a lot of open dates. It seems quite unfair then that an outsider would use the building on a date that some of our members would want, and we don't have that many open dates, so we just said, sorry, we just don't have available dates in which we can schedule you to rent the building. I hope that you understand that. If you do have a loved one that wants to get married, make sure before you talk to them about calling us that you talk with us first. Because we have had some of you that have told your loved ones, well, you can probably use our building. And after they got their hopes up and called, found that they couldn't, they became quite disturbed, thinking we just didn't want them to use it. And that's not the case at all. I'm hoping that when we get our new building that we'll even have a community room in it in which people can come in and use our building. We do have outsiders that come in and use the building, but it's used for, in all practical purposes, for the purpose for which the church exists, such as homeschoolers. Wisconsin's had a chapter of homeschoolers using the building. I don't think they're presently using it now, but They did until, I think, this past September. On Monday nights, we said on Monday night we'd have no activities here at Calvary Gospel Church. This would be family night, and then we have so many single people in the church, and Bible studies were started by single people and saying, well, we don't really have a church, we don't have a family, so we just consider the church family as our family. And I came over on one Monday night and thinking the building was going to be quiet, and there was people all over the building. I couldn't believe. When I drove up, I saw all the cars out, and I thought, now what's taking place? When I came in, there must have been 10 rooms being used for various things. And you know, I think that's great. And I think it's great that we have some of the problems that we have. We've had in the past problems with the parking lot, and there are times when there's no place to park. I think it's great. And while I'm kind of stuck on this, if you have a car that's not running, don't park it on the church parking lot, okay? Okay, please. Please don't do that. It only takes, just a small space for a car, but don't take up a parking space for that, okay? Pull it to somebody else's lot or some green space someplace and park it. Don't park it here on the church parking lot, because it's hard for us to find out who it belongs to. Sometimes they don't have license plates on them, and we don't want to take action by just pulling it in and putting it someplace in storage, knowing full well if you ever get it, you're going to have to pay a big price. We don't want that to happen. So just don't, and do us a favor by not asking us to do that, okay? And I hope that you understand that we had this problem with rooms, we had with the parking lot, we just have problems, but I think it's great. Now, we started a Saturday night service. I think it was about, 4 years ago? I think about 4 years ago, we had 153 people that had given us a verbal commitment to attend, and they did. We probably were a little premature with that because we had a little problem with our staff. Not in that we didn't have enough ministers to minister, but we're a little short in the music area. Now we've got, since then, Sister Vicki has worked with various ones. I don't know how many people we have that play the keyboard. Raise your hand if you play the keyboard. Raise it way up. Come on, just put your hand way up so we can see them, okay? I think we have, Sister Vicki, 10 or 12 people that play the keyboard, okay? What about the guitars? How many people play the guitar and bass? Raise your hand, okay? Raise it up. Don't be embarrassed. Just raise your hand way up. We want everybody not just necessarily to see your face, but see your hand at least. Okay. And then the drums. How many people play the drums? Okay. All right. So we got a lot of, we got a lot of people. And how many of you sing in the choir, or are you singing the praise on the praise team? Raise your hand. Come on. All right. So we're better equipped now to do it than we were then. And what I'm going to propose tonight does not eliminate the need for another service. I have felt that for some time now that we need a plan in which the church can continue to grow. We're having plans drawn up, and we're hoping to get them by the end of the year. But these are just preliminary plans again, trying to make everything cheaper, I guess. That's the word to use, make it cheaper. But if we approved it and we had the money, it'd still be probably a couple of years or so before we could get in it, because working plans have to be drawn up and permits pulled and contracts signed and all the work completed before we can move into it. And, it's like a growing child growing out of his shoes. Now, there's one thing you could do because they've done it in certain parts of the world, especially in China, and that is that they bind their feet so that when, not all of China, but some people, some groups, they bind their feet so that when they get large, they still have these tiny feet. I have pretty small feet for my size. I look around and see someone like Brother Hawk, his feet certainly fit his frame, But, the thing about it is that we can't allow the shoe to determine the size of the foot. In other words, the building to determine the size of the body of Christ here. It would be very unfair that we would do this. Now, when we're on Milwaukee Street, we reach the point in which we were parking all the way down to where Woodman's presently is. Now, they were not there then. And we stayed there for a good number of years, just filling up, putting chairs out. Many of you remember those days. Finally, we got in a position to come over here and break ground, and we built the first phase of this, and we filled up everything here, parking lot, all the rooms, auditorium, which is now the fellowship hall. And we operated with a full house for a long time. Now, in religious circles, people who study church growth, they say that when you occupy 80% of your space in your auditorium, that's as far as you're going to grow. That you fill it up and back off and fill it back up and back off and fill it back up and back off, and averages about 80% of the auditorium space. For this reason, churches go to multiple services so they can continue to grow. I don't know why, but in Pentecostal circles, multiple services, especially on Sunday, have not gone over very well. There's something about Pentecostal people. We all like to get in one spot at one time and have a good juking and jiving service, which we just shout the rafters down and run the aisles and have a great time. We like that. The more the merrier. Unfortunately, though, a guest who come in don't always like that. They like a little elbow room. They like a little space. And after we had filled up the fellowship hall, we talked about adding services. We talked about a lot of things. Finally, we built this. We came in here. We were just a small band of people. And it wasn't very long until we had filled this up. And now we've been in this, I think now, what is it, 13 years. Can you believe that? It's hard to believe. Moved in here in 1997. So we filled it up, backed off, filled it up, backed off, filled it up, and backed off. And I just feel that in prayer, and I've discussed this with our pastoral staff and quite a few of our ministers, we have in our church 13 licensed ministers. All of our licensed ministers, raise your hand. Would you do that? Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And one thing that's unique about Calvary Gospel Church, and yet at the same time, it may be a hindering factor. And when I say a hindering factor, we had one of our ministers to start a daughter work up in Beaver Dam. Brother Jim Derber, he was here, he and Sister Kim were here Sunday night, and he went up there. He felt a burden for it. He taught Bible studies. We have some of these people with us tonight. God bless them. They came down here on Wednesday night. They came down here on Sunday night. Sunday morning they had their service. They were true daughter work. Brother Derber was so cooperative. We started escrowing all of the tithing of all the people that he had won to the Lord. And after a couple of years, they received approval from the district board, started the church. I think Calvary Gospel Church wrote them out a check for $42,000, I think. That was money they had in escrow in their tithing. Just worked so well. Now we've started our bilingual service. It is indeed a ministry of Calvary Gospel Church. Our brother Seidel is serving as a pastor at this time. It's growing. It's doing well. We are so very thankful for this. We have an extension on the University of Wisconsin on Tuesday night. Brother and Sister Knopp have been down there since, I mean, a long time. How long have you been down there, Brother Knopp? A long time. Since 1985, can you believe that? Isn't that great? 25 years. Praise God. And then once a month, I think it's once a month, you have a service down on Sunday morning. And then we have prison ministry services, Oxford, Columbia, Oak Hill, and Tichita. How often do you have a service in the prison, brother? Okay, I can't hear what you're saying, but in this past year, do you know how many people you had? 1,775. That's in all the services all year long. How many were baptized, you know? 40 people. Isn't that great? Praise God. That's so outstanding. And Brother Tony Menez works with the Juvenile Detention Center. How many do you usually have, Brother Tony? Last night you had 23. Isn't that great? $350 kids in service this year. All right. Now, the reason why I want you to hear this report is because when you go to conferences in various places, you'll have ministers to get up, and quite often they'll say, these local churches that have all of these licensed ministers, and they do nothing but just go to church there. But all of our ministers are involved in ministry, all of them. And they're involved quite extensively in ministry. Brother Todd Ritchie teaches this in the CIP classes, and Brother Todd has been communicating now for several years with ministers primarily in India. I don't know how many he knows of that has gone to some of our United Pentecostal Church conferences and been filled with the Holy Ghost and accepted the oneness doctrine, but quite a few, isn't that right? How many? 380. Can you believe that? Now, let me tell you, that's no small thing. You're talking about 380 pastors now. And then, of course, all of these churches that are affected by it. Brother Stan Sissom came by here and talked with me. He said, I'll tell you, it's unbelievable what Brother Rich has done. Just by getting on the internet and communicating with these people and sharing the oneness in Jesus' name, baptism with them. And see, we don't have time in every service to tell all these stories. But, you know, that is amazing. It is amazing. And now, Brother Hawk, with the CIP, we've been going, how long? 9 years? I don't know how many people have been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, but about 4,000 people have been affected. And I would say probably 400 to 500 people. Close to 700 people have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, here's, and then of course, those that are teaching home Bible studies. How many of you are presently teaching home Bible studies? Raise your hand. Look at the hands that are raised here. Brother Dan O'Brien, I don't know if he still is, but he had a Saturday morning Bible study going right here, a group Bible study, Saturday night. Is that still going? It stopped, but it's going to start up again. And I don't know how many he's taught, but a lot of people. And we have a Wednesday night Ignite program. Brother and Sister Demas and our young people are over in the fellowship hall. Every Wednesday night, he gives me a report. Lately, they've been running upper 30s. That's a good number of young people. Now, there are other ministries, too. And we have, like we have 13 licensed ministers. We have ministers that are aspiring to the ministry. Some are applying now for credentials. You may say, why do we need more ministers? See, the goal is the multiplication of ministers. Not necessarily licensed ministers, but that is a progressive step. Now, whenever I say that sometimes the way we operate is not real favorable from the standpoint of a district plan of growth, where we're trying to start as many churches as possible, we have so many men that are involved in ministry that have come and talked with me and said, well, you know, Pastor, I think that I can probably do more right here with the ministry I have than I could if I went someplace and started a church. And I understand that. But that does not eliminate the need for churches in surrounding cities and even churches here in Madison. So, when I look at everything from our bus ministry, and Brother Dan Capaccio has been in charge of the bus ministry since I've been making buses. Right now we are. I think he's got Brother Dan O'Brien and Brother Noah Strand and. How many others? I don't know. Our buses, if you look out there and you see those buses out there, those buses are just not operable. They're just junk. And we don't run them. We're renting, leasing buses from Cobusin, a bus rental or bus carrier, whatever it is. They run the school buses and such. One of them we get at a real cheap rate because Brother Claude Apka is employed with them, and he drives. He volunteers his time. So if you need a job, get your CDL license and go apply at Cobusin so that we can get you. And we get a bus on Sunday morning for $65. If Brother Claude drives it, If not, then it's well over 100. But the plus is that the bus driver's been coming into the service now. So isn't that great? My. Oh, praise God. Everywhere. Spread the gospel everywhere. Spread the gospel everywhere. Now, I don't know how many of this been baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost in Vosis. Brother and Sister Seidel are now in charge of this, but Brother and Sister Russell moved here. And I want to tell you, Brother and Sister Russell have been phenomenal assets to Calvary Gospel Church. Praise God. He is retired well over 70, but he acts like he's 50. Sister Russell's not quite there, but she looks like she's 30. She looks like she could be Sister Vicky's sister. Oh, Vicky, huh? Vicky's clapping about that. So here we are. What are we going to do about this? Preach the word of God everywhere. I just believe that it's not time for us to consider slowing down. It's time for us to accelerate. It's time for us to grow. I think Brother Hop goes over to Huber Center every week and teaches on Bible studies there. Isn't that right? I don't know how many he teaches there in the Huber Center, but 3 or 4. And, you know, I could go on and on and on about the ministries here at Calvary Gospel Church. But because that we do employ all these men, when I say employ, they volunteer, but because they have a job, they have a ministry, and they do it well, it might have prevented some of them from maybe getting a little discouraged here and going someplace and establishing a church because they work so well here. And I want to commend them for what they've done. Certainly we have not in any way tried to stop them from going. But I believe that it's time that we consider expanding into other areas. So our pastoral staff is working on a policy. We would certainly like to establish some outreaches, preaching points, or extensions of our church in other areas. Now, some of the areas that I'd like to see us go into, and I have made a list, and this list is based on where I think the greatest need is in this area, and then after a while I didn't work it all the way down, but I think the greatest need in this area is something in the Madison West or Middleton area. It's a big, big area. Brother and Sister Kryaski sold their home on the east side, moved over there with the intent of establishing a church, and the prison ministry just really took off. And he came in and talked to Brother Thomas about it and said, I feel comfortable doing this prison ministry. And I don't know of anybody that has a greater burden for prison ministry than Ted Kryaski. He's just done a remarkable job. And, and whenever I talk about church extensions, now, the purpose of this, okay, the purpose of this is not necessarily to establish a church. Don't rule that out, but I want to tell you the reason why I put this the way I did. The purpose is to win souls in the area, okay? Now, I know that in the UPC we have this plant a church concept. I happen to carry around a small briefcase that I got from our home missions department at General Conference. And in 10 years, we're trying to establish or plant 420 25 churches, a lot of churches. You know, what I'm saying is not anti-establishing church, planting churches. Here's what happens, though, when you say, well, we want to plant a church on the west side. So everybody lives on the west side, and some minister goes over there, and they say, okay, we're gonna plant a church. In your mind, it's plant a church. It's plant a church. I want to establish the idea. No, we go there to win souls. We go there to win souls. And we don't want any minister of Calvary Gospel Church to think, well, we got 8 or 10 families living in Middleton West, so I'll go over there and pastor them. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about going over there and winning souls. You know, you can get a building and call for service or have a special schedule, one that doesn't conflict with us, and just meet with the people there and not reach out. We've had some experiences in this area. So what I'm saying is that I'd like to see churches established, but I think we should go with the idea that we're to win souls. That's our primary objective. Win souls, win souls, win souls. For this reason, then, we will be coming up with a policy. Our pastoral staff is going to work on this. We want to come up with a policy. We want our ministers and also all of our leaders to continue to grow in Christ. We want them to develop leadership skills. For this reason, we will be offering to the entire church once a quarter this next year. We'll be offering a leadership seminar on a Saturday. It'll go from 9 o'clock until 12 o'clock. And then on a bi-monthly basis, I want to meet with all of our licensed ministers and go over a good number of things with them. We want to see them grow. So if one of them takes and is in charge of one of the outreaches that we have, then that minister can continue to grow. Because I know how hard it is to start a church. I started 3 churches before I came here, and it's sacrifice. It's blood and guts all the way. And, you know, I'd read everything I possibly could. I spent a lot of time in Christian bookstores and read materials, and it was difficult. But it would have been a lot easier had I had a mother church that I could attend and a pastor that could help me, and that's exactly what we want. So going back to this list, Madison West or Middleton, Madison Southwest, maybe the Allied area. We may not even start a worship service there. It may be a Sunday school. We're running buses over there. So maybe instead of running a bus over there, we just find a place and have Sunday school over there. For this reason, then, the Sunday school department will need to train more teachers, work with more people. Now, what I'm laying out tonight is going to require a new commitment to the work of the Lord. I really believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I'm very excited about it. Verona, for an example, is the fastest growing area in the Midwest, period. Need a church in Verona. We got people living there. Stoughton is fast growing. Oregon, DeForest, Windsor, Wanakee, Columbus, Portage, Arlington, DeForest, Sauk City. We're going outside of Dane County, but I'm talking about in the commuting area. Black Earth, Cross Plains, Deerfield, Edgerton, Marshall, Partyville. When I moved to Wisconsin, I was so amazed. in East Texas, where I came from, in our section, which was much smaller than Dane County, when I moved up here, we had more churches in our section in East Texas than we had in all of Wisconsin. Now, here's the unfortunate thing. The unfortunate thing is that most of those churches started as a result of a split from another church. So there was always conflict between the pastors. And, you know, afraid that somebody's going to steal our sheep. And, you know, this kind of thing. I think what we're talking about will eliminate that. So when we start these extensions, we want to interview everybody that's planning on working in that extension. We want to have a policy. We also want to have everybody that's working in that extension to understand that it is an extension. They will be asked to attend the services at Calvary Gospel Church until such a time that we put a service on the same night or near the same night. These can be held in community centers and homes and rented facilities, schools, or wherever. But keep in mind, the objective is to win souls. To reach souls, not necessarily to establish churches, but if the group becomes large enough that it's no longer feasible or reasonable to give it direction, then because of its growth, we'd like to see it become an autonomous church, just like Calvary Gospel Church is, with its own pastor. So if you live in an area in which you would like to see a church established, or maybe I should say an extension at this time, make sure you contact one of our pastors. Brother Thomas will be dealing primarily with the worship services. If it's an extension of the Sunday school, Pastor Roy will be dealing with that. Of course, any of our pastors, those on our pastoral staff, can help you. Once the policy's in place, you know, we're going to review that policy with everybody that wants to work there, get a real agreement with them, and there will be an evaluation on a regular basis of what's taking place. In other words, let's say that in some community, 8 or 10 people begin to work and hold Bible studies, and after a year they haven't had a visitor and nobody's coming. Would it be feasible then for those workers to continue in that area if nothing is happening? So I would like to think that you would at least be understanding enough to put your efforts in some other area that perhaps you'd be more productive, because you know this is basically what we're after. We're after winning the lost to the Lord. So when we talk about going everywhere, then there's another part of this that I feel we need to understand. This has to do with our spiritual growth. Acts 2:46, the Bible says they continued daily. In other words, every day. Every day. Every day they prayed. Every day they worshiped. Let me tell you what happens, though, when you become, I don't want to use the word overcommitted, but when you become committed, very committed, maybe I should say. And then something comes up in your personal life. First thing that you usually let down on, and that's prayer and Bible reading and worship. Then when you let down on that, then what happens? Church attendance, it becomes secondary. And, you know, it's not a message, but it's not a sermon, but I could give you names of people that continued to teach Sunday school up to the very day that they turned in their key and said, farewell, we're not coming back to church. And I knew there was a spiritual problem, because the only time they come to church is when they taught the Sunday school. And That just simply means they were giving out, giving out, giving out, but nobody was teaching them. They weren't absorbing anything. They didn't sit through worship services like this. This is the reason why I ask all of our teachers, if you're teaching in a class on Sunday morning, we have worship service, be in here and worship. Don't go directly to your classroom. Be prepared before then, before classroom. Come in here and worship with all the people that's going to your class and those that you're going to be in telling how to worship. Be an example for them. And at the same time, fuel up yourself. I know what it's like to just run out of steam. You know, in the secular world, we hear the term burnout. Now, I think according to Scripture, burnout is not really a spiritual word or concept. Most of burnout by spiritual leaders is just really people that just die spiritually. Now, to give you an example, how many times have you dreaded teaching your Bible study because you were so tired? And you went someplace and kneeled down and prayed, and the power of God came upon you, and you just began to feel so guilty about not wanting to do this, and all of a sudden the anointing of God rested upon you, and then you couldn't wait to get up and go teach because you were renewed in your strength. First thing that I do whenever I feel there's a little bit of a lack of get up and go is I have a thorough soul-searching time of repentance, because I think according to 2 Corinthians 7, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And then he goes into the fruits of repentance. What clearing of yourself. Repentance is the clearing of all the junk that gets in. It's like taking your boat out of a slip where you've been tying it up all year long. You take it out, it's got all that scale and everything on the bottom of it. You want to knock all the scale off of it so it'll slip through the water. You can add several miles per hour when you do that. Pulling tubes around and skiers and such, but if it sits there in that water and it doesn't move, and if you just sit and you don't move, guess what happens? You build up scale. And repentance clears, but he goes on to say, yea, what zeal, what vehement desire. If you lose your desire for whatever you're doing, don't take that as, I need to stop what I'm doing and go do something else. Because if you haven't found the answer, that is, the answer that encompasses the will of God for your life, whatever you go to is not going to work. You've got to pray through. I mean, really pray through, really repent. And once you repent, that's when the zeal comes back. Now, if the zeal comes back and yet you still feel that I need a change, and that's going to happen to all of us. Sometime in our tenure in whatever we're doing, which maybe changes, it needs to be reevaluated. That's going to happen to us. But please don't make a decision until you know for a fact that you follow the Bible prescribed way of finding the will of God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewal of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right? Every day, every day, every day, every day. You know, every day I renew my purpose in life. I try to renew my vision. Our purpose statement simply states that we look up to God in worship and prayer. We reach in discipleship, and we reach out in evangelism. We reach up, reach in, and reach out. And if you're reaching in and you're reaching out, but you're not reaching up, then nothing will work for you. But I believe that God put us here, and we can reach our city. We can reach our community. Now, needless to say, you know, it's first in Jerusalem. The light that shines the furthest shines the brightest at home. And first in Jerusalem, then in all Judea, and then Jesus said, and Samaria. Samaria is part of Judea, but it was a part that the Jewish people didn't like to go into. There may be some areas that we don't like to go into for one reason or another. Maybe less desirable areas. But those people didn't need the gospel. Those people need the gospel. I'm going to ask all of you in this church, every last one of you, start praying. Start praying about your own ministry. Now, everybody can't go out in an extension, otherwise we'd have to close our doors here. Some of you, it's God's will for you to train workers and train ministers. That's God's will. Some of you, it's God's will for you to train the kids of the saints here at Calvary Gospel Church. That's God's will for you. So we're not asking you to get so excited that you just feel that if you don't do this, then I'm failing God. If everybody did it, we would be failing God. So we're not putting any pressure, but we're just simply saying, pray about it. Seek God. Search for God's will in your life. See what He has for you. So, they went everywhere, every day, Acts 22:16. Paul was instructed by Ananias, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. In other words, why do you tarry? In other words, do it now. I don't think we can afford to wait any longer. I really don't. I don't think we have to wait any longer. It's the right time. So if after prayer you feel like you'd like to become involved in this, you live in one of the outlying areas, or maybe you don't, but you'd still like to become involved, talk with one of our pastors, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Roy, or anyone on our pastoral staff. They went everywhere, every day, and they didn't wait. Now, let's bow our heads. I want you to think about this. Is this something that God's actually calling you to? Oh. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Would you commit to God's will? Whatever it is, it's going to be safe for you. Maybe starting an extension in Lodi, Sauk City, Arlington, DeForest, West Side. Maybe establishing a Sunday school in Stoughton or Allied area or someplace. Whatever God's will is. They went everywhere, every day. Thank you, God. I feel the presence of God moving across this building, talking to hearts. Sister Vicki, you want to come back up? Your praise singers. But keep in mind, the goal is to win souls. I say the goal is to win souls. My Jesus, Lord. Sweep over this place, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.